your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to a Monday of Lacrosse Talk PM. Mayor Tim Cabot is going to join me in just a minute. I have to tell him to call me. 608-785-7914, Mayor. Call me. I got distracted looking at all kinds of things. I got the city council agenda in front of me for Thursday. So we're going to talk to the mayor about some of the items we can break down on that page, those four pages. And coming up in 8 minutes, I'm going to talk with also City of Lacrosse Assistant Police Chief Rob Abraham. Here's the mayor. Hello, Mayor.
Hey, good afternoon.
I got distracted and lost track of my extra minute I had to call you, so I made you call me. Thank you.
You bet.
Right away, I think we can just get this out of the way. Are you ready to divulge your plans for post-mayor adventures?
Not yet. I still want to be involved in public service, but I don't have that finalized yet, so I'm working on it.
You're working on it. Okay. Now, is Senator run? I always feel like that's always the go-to. Ron Johnson's seat, you going to run for Senator?
No, I think I can pretty well put that one to rest. I won't be running for U.S. Senator in 2 years or whenever that term is out.
How hard of a decision was it to announce you're not going to run for a third term? I mean, you had an open seat when you were first elected. So I think 10 other people ran against, along with you. And then the last time you were unopposed, so it was, you kind of had both ends of the spectrum here. I was anticipating you against one other person this third time.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of interesting how that unfolded. It was a very difficult decision. I mean, my family and I and folks that I'm close to have talked through this now for several months. So the, finalizing that decision happened just right around the Thanksgiving holiday, and we shared that with everybody last week. And it's a bit of a relief to finally have the decision made and, get it out into the open rather than carrying it around. And it's one of those, it's hard to describe or just put in to a simple message, but the experiences have been just remarkable. I would love it for, really any of the citizens or residents to be able to get a taste of what it's like maybe on a day or something, day in the life of the mayor, because of the variety of things that you end up doing. And for the most part, it's positive. I think that's what maybe folks, they would assume, that it's just always dealing with negative and dealing with complaints. But there's so much positive going on in our community, and it's pretty, awesome to be a small part of that.
We can ask you about maybe some projects you have planned, or maybe a big project you have in store after we talk with Rob after the news here. But before that, I feel like, do you have any controversial things you want to get done? I feel like you kind of did some of these controversial things, and it sounds like you didn't know whether or not you were going to run for a third term, but the Hiawatha statue is a little bit controversial. You'll say that you didn't do this, but I keep saying that you did. You kicked the president out of town. The president was going to come to town, and then you said you kicked him out. The conspiracy theory there is you threatened the business at the airport with whatever the mayor would be able to threaten the business at the airport with, but making it so that the president couldn't land and couldn't go to have his rally at the airport. So I feel like, those were things, if you didn't know you were running, if you did know you weren't running for mayor, you could do these controversial things. But on the flip side, also, kicking the president, I mean, you have more power than the president in your town. That would be one of the top things I would run on. Sure. I kicked the president out of town. I'd have banners, I kicked the president out of town, stuff like that. But obviously, you're not going to say that. But I don't know. So it was kind of funny. It was kind of interesting to be like, oh, yeah, he. It sounds like he didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't. I had not made my mind up at that point. And both of those were based on just the 8 years of history and the level of response that we received from the public, you know, whether it's phone calls or emails or messages through social media, those two, especially the Hiawatha statue, but also the president's canceled visit, were probably in the top two or three of messaging, and most of it, you know, with folks not very happy. So those would be two. I'd have to maybe think a little bit about the, you know, something else that could be proposed in the next 4 months that might cause that level of, you know, consternation on some people. I mean, there's always the hatched baby or the blue baby. We love to talk about the blue baby, so maybe that's something else that we can think about. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been brainstorming this myself. If you wanted to be super controversial and go out as lame duck mayor, you're not going to run for election, so you don't care what anyone thinks of you. We have 36 herons, I think, spread around town. I think it's spread around town. There's a lot of herons over here, but I don't know where else they are. So maybe if you enacted a, you know, 37 blue babies, if you act, you know, an army of blue babies around the town, we put one in front of the new lacrosse center renovation. Maybe you just put them at all the things that you're responsible for. Giant paper mache blue babies everywhere in town.
There's an idea, you know, for those that don't really care for the one blue baby outside of City Hall there by the police station, that would be something.
And I think maybe Rob will have something to say about this, because I think Rob Abraham, the assistant police chief, probably walks by, as you do too, walks by Hatched Baby every day.
Yes.
All right. So Lacrosse Mayor Tim Cabin is going to join us for the hour. We're going to bring Rob Abraham on, and right after the news, we're going to talk about the Alan Crux sentencing, and we'll have Cabot and Rob interview each other, and then I don't have to do any work like that one day when Brad and you interviewed each other because my mic wasn't working. All right. We'll be back. We got news coming up. All right. Welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. Play Christmas music till Christmas. Now on the phone with me, both Lacrosse Mayor and Lacrosse City Police's Assistant Chief of Police, Rob Abraham. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, so I want to get down to business, and the mayor said he'll just listen. And if you got questions for Rob, feel free. I know you interviewed Brad a couple of weeks ago for me because the mic didn't work. So if you got questions for Rob, yeah, you can chime in. We'll double team him here. But Rob, last week, Alan Crux... 2 Augusts ago, Alan Crux got involved in a shooting with police. He ended up shooting Dustin Darling in the chest. Dustin Darling had I call it a bulletproof vest. You might call it something else. So he essentially physically was uninjured, so for the most part. But he was sentenced last week to 15 years in prison. And I had Tim Grinke, the La Crosse County District Attorney, on, asked him the process there. And Grinke said a lot of the process there between determining what sentence to give Alan Crux, because the max was 65 years, a lot of that conversation went through Dustin Darling and his family. He said he doesn't talk to the police department about that. But was the police department happy with how that sentencing went?
Well, just a couple corrections. First off, bullet resistant, because you're right, they're not bulletproof. And secondly, Officer Darling's skin was perforated from the impact of the 45 round that struck him in the chest. Had it not been, you know, for the vest that we provide them, and I think, you know, the grace of whatever you believe in, you know, fortunately things turned out the way they did, and Dustin is still here. But, you know, we really talked a lot with Dustin about this, Officer Darling. And I just want to say, you know, he handled this with a tremendous amount of professionalism and, you know, just a beyond, I think, what a lot of people could even comprehend being in that situation. And, yes, you know, he did talk with the district attorney. Dustin came in a lot and talked with me about it. And in the end, this is really about Dustin. This isn't about the police department, even though, you know, it does kind of affect our family. It's really about Dustin. And he said he was satisfied with the outcome and the resolution. He wants to move on. His family wants to move on. And, you know, and to Dustin's credit, he said he hopes that Crux gets the, you know, the help he needs in prison. So hopefully that 15 years means 15 years, because I think anything less really kind of dilutes the seriousness of the offense. And, you know, as Judge Gonzalez pointed out, you know, police officers, you know, certainly do take a risk when they put on that uniform every day, but shouldn't be expected to take bullets.
We're speaking with Rob Abraham, the assistant chief here in the city of La Crosse. So sounds like 15 years was good. Were you happy with the way Ramona Gonzalez conducted that last sentencing and just what she had to say about police? And you know, oftentimes, not oftentimes, but every once in a while, you guys aren't so happy with how the judge's decision for sentencing comes about.
You know, in this case, the state and the probation and parole with their PSI, the pre-sentencing investigation, recommended that 15 years. Officer Darling went along with it, and Judge Gonzalez agreed. And, you know, she pointed out that she could certainly have, you know, went around that and actually sentenced Kruk to a more severe sentence, because obviously his defense attorney and you know, the guy was eloquently spoken and put on a nice presentation for a defense and arguing for less of a sentence. But certainly I think anything less than what Officer Darling and the state and the PSI recommended would have been the wrong thing to do. And she knew that. I think she handed out the sentence that she should have in this case. And, you know, she was very complimentary of how Officer Darling conducted himself. And, you know, and our officers, you know, once they got there, you know, they were providing immediate first aid to the guy who just tried to kill their partner. So it does say a lot. You know, a lot of people try to make the police out to be these boogeymen and these bad people because you have one or two incidents that get, you know, highly publicized around the nation. But really, the La Crosse Police Department, you have a really good police agency here, a lot of professionals that come to work and do the right thing every day. But they don't get credit for that. You got a lot of people, I would call it the vocal minority, you know, really trying to say otherwise.
Can you talk about how Dustin Darling's at least police life has changed since that shooting, or is that okay? I don't know if, you know, I feel like he's in a different role now, and will that change?
Well, Dustin, you know, he's an up and comer, and he's a shining star in our agency, and that was both before and after this incident. You know, he put in for a position that, you know, is a kind of a combination. We call it a special services position, where he is now, as you know, working a lot in our community services division, where he does media outreach and things of that nature. So it's a position that has always been in our agency, and that position happened to be open during this time. And when he came back from his incident, you know, he transitioned into that spot, and we think it's a really good fit.
All right, we're speaking with Rob Abraham. Mayor Cabot is on as well, so chime in, Mayor, if you have anything. But you talk about, so when this shooting happened back in August of 2019, at some point down the road, you guys released body cam footage and slowed down the body cam footage where everyone could easily see, like, oh, Kruk pulls a gun, and then the shooting happens. On the agenda, Thursday, the city council agenda is I guess, essentially just getting upgrades for body cams. Can you talk about that resolution?
Yeah, so this actually is a multi-collaborative initiative that La Crosse Police Department spearheaded with all the other municipal law enforcement agencies in the county. And part of this is to have a county-wide, so to speak, same vendor-type application for body cameras. So we applied for a grant under that. Our initial body cams, our pilot body cams, were coming to an end. The vendor no longer carried that product and moved on to a different one that we really didn't care too much for. So we started a new process. We invited the Onalaska Police Department, the Campbell Police Department, Shelby Police Department, West Salem Police Department, Bangor Police Department, and the Ho-Chunk Nation Police Department in on our collaborative grant. Actually, we invited everybody, but Holman Police Department had recently just invested in a body cam program, and the Sheriff's Department wanted to write their own grant. So basically, all the municipal law enforcement agencies in the county of La Crosse will be under one unified system, which should add a lot of kind of assistance in prosecuting and also for the defense attorneys. So if you can imagine having to navigate through 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different video systems and all the different things, having one system across, you know, one platform that you have to deal with will certainly make it a lot easier for everyone involved. So that's what our grant proposal was. That's what we're working towards. And we also have someone who just came forward and wants to start a kind of a public-private program to help pay for the match portion of this grant. It's a 50% grant, so the feds are providing 50%, and we're hoping to try to get some public support for the other 50% for all the agencies.
All right. Do you know how much is the whole program going to cost? Do you know that?
Yeah, so the grant, I'm just rolling off the top of my head here. I want to around $150,000, and so then we are trying to at this private entity and the private donor is trying to raise another $150,000 for the match.
All right, and you know, you never think about this, like body cams, like all technology, every 2 years or so, you want to get new ones, right? Like everyone gets a new cell phone about every 2 years or so. So the technology here probably often changes.
Technology does, and you know, they're not, they're in the harsh environments, you know, where you would tuck your cell phone into your pants pocket or something when it's raining or snowing. That body cam stays out on that officer's, you know, chest or on their belt clip, and it's exposed to all those elements. So if you could imagine, you know, keeping your cell phone out in the rain every day and in the snow and the dust, the heat and everything else. So, you know, they do have a shelf life. So, you know, that was part of our reasoning for applying for this grant. Plus the fact that, you know, our body cams were coming due for a refresh. So everything kind of came together. We were fortunate enough to land the grant. But, you know, having the mayor on the line, he saw the benefit of certainly having the body cameras, what that meant for, number one, police accountability. And then number two, you know, providing the city with some level of kind of security against false claims. Those body cameras are almost worth their weight in gold at some times.
This is going to be a shame when the city council votes this down Thursday, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously, if they wanted to give away federal taxpayer dollars, you know, so in essence, you know, what we're doing is we're recouping some of the federal tax dollars that you and I and everyone else paid and trying to bring that back, you know, to the city. So if we turn it down, then someone else will get it. It's not going to come back in the form of a refund on our tax return.
And then last thing also on the agenda is police getting raises. You yourself, you said you're not getting raises, but people within the department are getting raises pending approval about Thursday by the city council.
Yeah, so that's for the police unions, and obviously anyone a captain and above is not in a police union, so we're just under the general meet and confer people. So actually I sat on the police department side for trying to negotiate these contracts, and I think that the city did a really good job negotiating it, which people don't understand who don't have any idea what this process is. You know, the police union has binding arbitration. So for someone just to come around and say, well, the police shouldn't get a raise and that's that, that is not that. Actually, we came in under budget with the Finance and Personnel Committee allowed for a budget to the HR director. With the contract that was negotiated, it was a split raise. So really it's 1% at the beginning of each year. And then I think 9 months into that year, then the other 2% kicks in. So when you look at it overall, the cost of those raises came in under budget, so the taxpayers' money was you know utilized in a frugal manner, but certainly the city could not have approached the unions and just said you're not getting a raise because those officers would have went straight into binding arbitration, and an arbitrator likely would have given them a raise equivalent or probably even higher to what the city negotiated. So the union came in really with a win-win bargaining attitude, and I think the city did too, and I think in the end they came up with a good contract for those unions.
All right, that's Assistant Police Chief Rob Abraham. Hey Rob, thanks for joining us here. I'll let you go.
Thank you.
All right,
take care.
Mayor Tim Cavett, you still there?
I am.
All right. I just in terms of raises, I had mentioned this when you, I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. Yeah, we were talking about mayor salaries. I don't know if you know the salary off the top. Well, maybe you do. It's your salary. But in the past, you've denied yourself a raise at least twice, right?
That's correct. Two of my vetoes that I issued over the course of my 8 years were in relation to raising the salary for the mayor. So the third time, and I'm trying to remember, this is now maybe a year and a half ago or so, which would apply to this next term, there is a raise, and I forget the exact dollar amount. I believe it's $89,000 or somewhere in that range, I believe.
All right. So and see, another reason why maybe you should have stuck on and decided to run again. You would have gave yourself a raise.
Well, right. Yeah. No, that was, you know, those vetoes I thought were important at the time. And as we move on now to the next mayor and next council, you know, having a salary that keeps some pace with inflation. I think it was maybe since 2005 or 2007, the last time that the mayor's salary was adjusted. So from 2007 until 2021, 14 years of no change. I think the time is probably right for the next mayor. And if I could just jump in quick on what the assistant chief was talking about, I would just echo, I think, you know, we have, and I say this, you know, to any that listen, I really feel that we have the best police department in the state of Wisconsin, and the level of training and professionalism, the things that have to go on. I think some of the problems, especially with what's been happening this summer with protests, is the problem of taking what's happening maybe in some communities and nationally with unfortunately police shootings and misconduct, and trying to superimpose them here in La Crosse. So I think I'm hoping that the next mayor, next council members realize that and work with our police to do good things. And the last thing that I would just say is a kudos to the assistant chief, because we had a bit of communication going on over the Friday and over the weekend over people's favorite topic, which is alternate side parking. And there was a group of folks through social media and phone calls, and really upset and adamant about not collecting fines during this relatively warm weather that we're experiencing in December. And I had reached out to both the chief and assistant chief and asked about, maybe just relaxing the fine amounts for the time being. And to their credit, they work with their people, and there's a $0 fine if somebody got an overnight parking ticket starting, I think, either Sunday or Monday. It's a $0 fine right now. So I got to give them a lot of credit, because again, the city gets the rap that this is just simply a revenue generator, and it's really not, although it does generate, tickets, and it does help pay for our parking utility. But it's really about the issues that go along with trying to maintain a transportation network around the city, especially when we get heavy snowfall. So I just have to give them some props here on the radio that they were very responsive and did that.
Is it $0 every time? Because I know it's $0 the first time.
Correct. They've basically just put a pause on issuing any fines right now. So there's some changes that are being worked on for the ordinance itself, dealing with kind of the snow emergency language, and when there's an actual snowfall as compared to when we're having weather like right now, where it's 40s and 50s during the day, and no snow on the ground. So that's in the works, and at least temporarily they've paused the fines, which, is, I think it's just a testament to their responsiveness and trying to understand that, there's a lot of people hurting right now with the challenges going on with the economy and because of COVID. So I appreciate that.
Sounds like we should have left Rob on so you guys could have chatted about this. No, I'm just kidding. All right. We're super late here. We got to get Scott's comment in the news. Mayor Tim Cavett's going to join us for the rest of the hour. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to the Crosstalk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. I did get a text that said somebody needs to tell Rob and the police to crack down on people running red lights, apparently. This is like the least important thing that the police have to do. But yes, crack down on the red lights. Mayor Tim Cabot's joining us. Mayor, there's obviously the city council meeting is Thursday. Maybe it's not obvious, but it's obvious to you. When you look at the agenda, there's quite a few things on there. I know, you know, you're going to redeclare an emergency for COVID. I think that is more of a just rehashing the fact that we should be wearing masks and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, it's extending the emergency declaration from back in April. Since April, the Common Council passed a ordinance that, in essence, emergency declarations expire after 180 days unless they're either extended or there's a new one issued. So, so that's what the item is on the agenda for Thursday, is to extend that emergency declaration for another 180 days. And yes, based on where we're sitting at with new case numbers, with positivity rate, with hospitalizations, again, people should be doing all of those things, not traveling, only going out for those essentials, wearing a mask, social distancing. The holiday season will be really challenging and we're encouraging people to do their family gatherings via Zoom or via virtual rather than in person, just because, you know, the CDC guidelines talk about not interacting with people outside of your household. So we are still taking that COVID very seriously, and that's part of that continuation of the pandemic that we're dealing with in the emergency declaration here at the local level.
Yeah, I feel like people can not go home for Thanksgiving. I feel like the Christmas holiday, not going home for Christmas, is going to be a whole different can of worms. The idea that people aren't going to do that, and I'm trying to divulge a plan of what people could do with testing and staying isolated so that they can go home for Christmas. But talking with the county health department seems pretty tough to do any of that safely. Giving yourself even like a 100% chance that you don't have the virus when you go home for Christmas. It's pretty tough to do.
Very difficult. I would agree. I think the new guidelines that the CDC issued in relation to the time for quarantining, that does hopefully make quarantining a bit easier for anybody that has to do that. But I would agree. I think, the holiday season is when everybody wants to be around your family and loved ones, and to not do that is really, really difficult. But it's a matter of, again, seeing the bigger picture and being part of this collective effort to take care of everyone and not just think about yourself.
Another item on the agenda is just to kind of enact the CARES funding. I think when the last I talked, there were five different places. I think it was $500,000 in CARES funding that was going to be distributed, about $500,000. And there was five different places that the city was going to kind of help. I think contact tracing, homelessness. There were three other ones off the top of my head. I don't want to be wrong here, but is it still five? Is that kind of the same plan that I had a couple of weeks ago?
Yes. Yes. Those recommendations that were made from the Community Development Committee, the Finance Committee last week, took those up and approved those same allocations. And so that's what's being recommended for approval at the council level.
Okay. Yeah. And the other ones, rental assistance, here it is. Rental assistance, homelessness, small businesses, contact tracing. Oh, I wrote rental assistance twice. And after school services / childcare. So those are the five.
Correct.
And it doesn't often happen where these aren't very controversial at this point, where the city council is just, a lot of these are just to approve. Does it happen that often where this stuff, we're not going to approve this stuff? Or I feel like all these things are pretty approve worthy.
Well, it would be a surprise at this point, because that's typically what at the committee level, when there's public hearings and the work of the committees to go through the details and address any of those questions or concerns. That's really what's supposed to happen. So by the time it does get to the council, that the concerns or if there are problems, those are ironed out ahead of time.
Yeah.
So it would be a surprise if the council doesn't approve that. And those are, you know, those are federal dollars through our community development block grant program. So these are all geared towards low and moderate income households. They're dealing with homelessness. The contact tracing obviously is an urgent need because of the case levels that we're experiencing and the challenges that our county health workers, and they're just, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job under just incredible circumstances, and it's difficult for them to keep up with so many cases. So that additional funding will hopefully help with that as well. So these are all, you know, I could not think of five areas more worthy and more in need than the five that the committee is recommending to get approved.
Yeah, I will say I bug Maggie Smith at the County Health Department about every day. I have one or two different questions just about every day, and she gets back to me in a pretty timely manner. So I appreciate that. With the CARES funding on top of that, I had an idea that I should bring on, you know, you come on Monday before the city council meeting. Well, Wednesdays, I was like, you know, I should bring a city council member on each week before the council meeting. But really, I should be bringing a council member on to talk about the committee meetings right beforehand, because that's when the public would want to know this stuff and would want to maybe, hey, I care about this. I want to get in on this, debate, whether it's email in or voice an opinion. All that stuff should be happening a week before the council meeting.
Yes, yeah, we have the Judiciary and Administration Committee meets on those Tuesdays of the week before council, and then the Finance and Personnel on the Thursday the week before the council meeting. So, yeah, that'd be a great idea, is to get the chairs of those committees to come on your show and talk about those committee agendas and see if there's, you know, issues or concerns.
Yeah, is that the idea? There should be a page on there should be just the civics page on the City of La Crosse website. Here is how the you know, committees and then the council meetings work. Is if you want to voice your opinion, go to the committees, not in, because I always think people probably think that, oh, I get the city council meeting, that's where I want to go, you know, complain about something that's on the agenda, but it's the week before. With that, the bringing on a city council member, with you not running for mayor, there's quite a few city council members. I think half the council every other, you know, is every other 4 years,
every 2 years
is, right. So half the council is up for reelection, and everybody, from what I see, everybody but Doug Happel is gone. Is that surprising to you?
It is maybe just a little bit surprising to see that level of turnover. We've had this was my eighth council, or I'm sorry, eighth. This was my fourth council that I'm working with right now, as a part of being mayor. So every 2 years, there's a different council. We've had some change over the last few years, but this, I think, would be pretty significant to see, depending on what happens in the race with Councilmember Happel. You know, you could potentially have, I believe it's seven, you could have seven new council members out of the 13. So, and even with Doug Happel, you know, if he would prevail, you would still end up with six out of the 13 being new. So that is a lot of changeover, having a new mayor as well. We experienced that a little bit back in 2013 when I was first elected. I believe we had, I forget if the number was four or five new council members that took office when I was sworn in also as mayor. So there was quite a bit of that as well, and just there's a very steep learning curve to the issues and just everything that the city government is involved with, all the levels of services that we provide. And then when you have issues and challenges to deal with, I tell everybody that, you know, we deal with all of the same problems and critical things that you see on the national news. It's just a matter of scale, and it's, you know, obviously relative to our situation here in La Crosse. But the challenges don't get any easier, and they don't seem like they're going away anytime soon. So I think the next council and mayor, you know, they'll have a lot to deal with right away.
Last time we had an open seat for mayor, when you ran for the first time, I think 13, 11 people ran for mayor, and then the last time before that, 14 people ran for mayor. Do you expect a double-digit people running for mayor this time around?
Boy, that's a. If I was a betting person, I would say no. I do think that you'll still see probably a handful of people announcing their candidacy. So I'd be willing to bet there's going to be in the range of maybe 5 to 7 candidates that will end up going through the primary in February, and that's when it gets narrowed down then to the top two for the April election. So that would be, I guess, what I'm thinking will happen is there'll be around that number. But who knows? We could end up with I believe there's been 3 people that have announced at this point. So there would be that primary in February, but maybe we'll get more as well. It's hard to know.
At this point, Jessica Olson and Martin Gall are the only people on that list, but yeah. And you have a minute and a half, 2 minutes here. Just the idea that this council is a pretty big turnover. We're going to have a new mayor that may or may not have ever been a mayor before, depending on who runs. If Martin Gall wins, he's been on the council. He's been council president. So there's some, but we've toyed with, toying with the idea of having a city administrator, an unelected official that kind of knows how government runs. Is that impossible to get started or have finished by the time we had a new mayor, like getting that position? Is there, would that take like years or a year to do?
Well, when you say impossible, I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's about as close to impossible, just because the referendum that was voted on, I forget now, it's probably been about 10 years or so, asking the question of whether the city of La Crosse should utilize the city administrator. That went down, the no's, I think it was about 60-some%. So it was pretty clear by the voters at that time that they're not interested in having a city administrator, that they like the system with the full-time mayor and, the day-to-day operations of the government being managed by an elected person. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. You just never know, because obviously things can change quickly, but at least at this point, the people like the system that they have.
Sounds like an executive order, city administrator, do it, mayor. All right, that's all.
Yeah, I don't have those abilities like the president does to do a bunch of executive orders, so we're a little different here.
Yeah. All right, Mayor Tim Cabot, thanks for joining us again.
You bet, Rick.
We'll
take care.
All right, that was Mayor Tim Cabot, obviously. Since we were just talking to him. All right, I got to take one more quick break. We'll be back. All right, welcome back. Just going to wrap up a Monday. We got through it. Had to navigate both Tim Cabot and Rob Abraham on, which was my fault because I asked them both to come on. I did get a text earlier. I mentioned this earlier. Somebody texted in and said, when Rob was on, assistant police chief, tell them to crack down on people running red lights, please. They said, please. And I mentioned that over the air. Well, Rob was listening. He goes, red lights, check, exclamation point. So he said they will, whatever check means. I guess crack down on people running red lights. Stop running red lights, people. We could just make them all flashing reds, right? And then that way half doesn't have to run it. All right, that's it. We gotta go.